You can turn to 3 John 2. So 3 John, verse 2, we're going to start in. Verse that everybody knows and loves and helped us throughout all the years. In 3 John chapter, in verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Now let's break it down. Pros. Per. Prosper. That's what God wants us to do. And that word, prosper, it means to succeed in all matters, health, peace of mind, to be well guided. And I love this one where it says, help on the road. So on this road of life, we are helped by a God who has fully equipped us, and He's fully equipped it. In one of the manifestations, it said that He's given us, He doesn't withhold anything from us that's good for us. So that's a God to be thankful for. And I like that I wish, just means you pray. He wills for us to prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospereth. And then it's God's will for us. And in verse 3, it says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Mm-hmm. So that's a great joy for God to prosper us, to give us everything we need in this life, and to know that we walk in truth. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Another oldie but goodie, but it's old, yeah, because it's in the Bible, but it's always a goodie. It's always a greatie to hear these things. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory." And again, I love that it says His riches, not ours. And that "shall supply" means to cram up, to satisfy, and to replete, which basically means He crammed us up with everything we need, and when we use it up, He's going to keep putting it in there. He's going to keep replenishing it for us. And whatever it is we need, He's going to keep filling us with His goodness and the things we need for this, to live this life. So, pretty wonderful. In Luke chapter 12. Luke 12. And we're going to start in verse 13. If I can find it. And we're going to hear some words of our wonderful brother. "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider of you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of" what?
Covetousness.
Covetousness is not good. It's fraudulent practices. It's greediness. You know, when we have our needs met by God, we don't have to have covetousness. We don't have to get into fraudulent practices to get what we need in this life, because we have God taking care of it. He's going to replenish us every time. So beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. We don't have to possess all these great things that the world thinks we need. We have everything when we need it. So it's good. And then it keeps our minds light. Enables us to travel light, so then we can bless each other. It doesn't consist not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." That's a lot of us. We keep buying stuff. We've thrown out so much stuff. And it's great. It feels so nice. But anyway, what shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and he is not, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We are rich toward God. We don't have to sit there and just buy things and accumulate things and just look at them and say, oh, this is great. We got a great God to look at that provides us all those wonderful things. And then verse 22, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses. They did not. The ravens didn't have to build bigger barns. They were right there for them. They had all things they needed. And God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? We're way better, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fowl just crapped in my garden. I saw him this morning. Little rat. Anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This one you all know. chapter 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. This is the context of this, is giving. And it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And that word able means he's powerful and capable of doing that stuff for us. And abound means superabound, where it also has the thing of enough to spare. Where when God gives to his people, they always have enough to spare to be able to give, because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to give to each other. And this, you guys are just the wonderful at that. Giving and being blessed and getting blessed back. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Chapter 1 and in verses 2 through 4. It says, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of what?
All comfort.
So if it's comfort we need in our lives, who's going to give it to us?
God.
Who's going to superabound it to us? God. No matter what the situation. Like, you know, I don't know if everybody knows, Terry prayed about it, but Gennaro's father fell asleep. So he's going to be super comforted by God, his whole family. That's why they're going to Italy. So keep him in your prayers. And the God of all comfort, verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted from God. So you're in a way where you need to be comforted, so God comforts you so that you're able to comfort others. It's just the way he works. He's wonderful. That's a great God. In Psalm 103. Psalm 103. going to read verses 1 through 6. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgiveth," what's that next word?
All
thine iniquities. Who healeth what?
All
thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." And there's that eagle again. And our lives are better than the eagle, too. So he's a fowl of the air, right? So we got a lot more going than that eagle. And this is great. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for what?
All
that are oppressed. And that word oppressed can mean, like, when you get pressed upon, when, you know, like friction or something that's going on in your life, he executeth what? Judgment and righteousness. So that's a great thing. That's a great God to have on our side, because he can take care of this stuff in a lickety split. Psalm 33. Start in verse 16. Now this is a great little comparison about physical versus God. Verse 16, "There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength." And he has great strength, the horse, and it's still not a great thing to go to, because God is greater. "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear or respect him, upon them that hope in his mercy." And in verse 19, "to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." So what's the better thing to go to? The world or God? The horse? He's a vain thing for safety. But we got a God that's not a vain thing. We got a God that always wants to take care of every single thing in our lives. Psalm 34, right next door there. Verse 4 through 8, it says, "I sought the Lord, and he turned the other way."
No.
"I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened." Sparkling, they sparkled, and their faces were not ashamed. They weren't disappointed when they looked to him. "This poor man," or the depressed man, or downtrodden man, "cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of," there's that word again, "all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear or respect him," and he doesn't just camp there, he delivereth them. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, happy is the man that trusteth in him." And what a great mind picture. He's sitting around, you're going through troubles. Picture that angel just sitting encamped around about you. But it's God that's encamped around about us. And he can take care of anything that we need. Psalm 91. Psalm 91, start verse 1. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." So we got summer coming. We have God as our shadow. See how I parlayed that in there? He can keep us safe in any situation. "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress." We went over that a few weeks ago. Those are things that are fully equipped to take care of us. "My God, in whom I will trust, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Connie, what's a buckler?
Shield.
Double shielded. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. So we're covered day and night, 24/7. We're covered by our wonderful God. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. What am I reading to? 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. So if we want to be protected, if we want to be taken care of, the best place to be is with God and his wonderful promises and wonderful things he's given us, rights, privileges, abilities, like Perry shared with us last week. We have so many wonderful things. Turn to Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes 5. And we're going to read 9 through 12. It says, Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with what?
Silver.
Nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. Not good. When goods increase, remember the guy who sat around and looked at his fruits and veggies? It's no life. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? Wow, we got all these great things and we can look at them and sit there and do nothing else. But, verse 12, the sleep of a laboring man is what?
Sweet.
And that laboring man means a server, a worker, a worshiper of God. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat a little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. So we are to labor for God, to work for him, to serve him. And one of the greatest things is you'll sleep wonderfully at night. You'll have a really peaceful sleep. But there's many, many other things that goes along with it. Keep your finger in some... No, we're not in Psalms, so you don't have to do that. But anyway, turn to Matthew 6. Sorry. Matthew 6, we've got to read this in verse 33. Well, we left off in Luke. Let me read 31. It says in 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But, verse 33, seek ye what?
First.
Before anything else, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So what thing should we do? Seek God first. Seek him out. Seek him before we seek the things of the world. And we're going to come out much better when we go to him. If you go to back to Psalm 77. Psalm 77. We're going to read a few of these verses here. First, starting in verse 1. It says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. Even that alone right there is wonderful. Okay. He gives ear to his people. Then it goes, it turns a little south here. But in the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. That's not good. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes walking, I am so troubled that I cannot speak. That's trouble. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I called to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. And then, will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Well, we know the answer to that. But this guy was going through some hard times. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. If we don't look to God, we can feel like that sometimes. And I said, this is my infirmity. And that infirmity, it's not a good thing. It's to be rubbed up against, to be like, the other word, it's to be pressured. That's his infirmity. He was being pressured by the things of the world. But I, and here's where he takes a good turn, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and of all thy doings. So what's a good key there? When we're going through those hard times, get...
Remember.
Yeah, remember, meditate on his word. And he wants to take care of us. He can take care of us. He's got everything he needs. We heard it in manifestations. We heard it in the scriptures. He's got everything. Ephesians chapter 3. We'll close it out. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3 verse 16. This is what we have, part of what we have, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. We have his spirit. We have every right and access to this great and wonderful God. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. It's something that can't be understood, but we can understand it because we have the Spirit. That ye might be filled with all, there it is again, the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And we have the great power that works in us. Amen. Just got to keep going to it. Meditate. Just keep going to him.